Well, good evening. My name is Joy Phillips. I am Travis's wife, and he is not here tonight because he is with 12 other people in our church, 10 students, and then there's three leaders. And they have just landed. We just got word. They have just landed in the Middle East. So praise the Lord for that. That's very exciting. So there's the fun journey ahead, and I just wanted to take a second because this is a big deal. This is what we believe in. This is who we are. When we look at our values over here, in all the earth. So that's where we are tonight, whether you're in this room or whether you're in all the earth, you're a part of what's going on. And so I just want to take a second and let us pray for them and really believe God would really move in power on this trip. God is so orchestrated it and ordained it and opened doors and worked things out at the last minute. And it's just been an unbelievable journey and is still working things out, I'm sure, at the last minute as we speak. So let's just pray that. Just take a second and you can either just pray if you feel comfortable. You can just pray with the person next to you who you came with or just get in small little groups and pray. Or if you want to just pray by yourself, that's fine too. I thought it would be powerful, though, to hear the voices of prayer going up and going out for these people. So let's pray for two things. One, just the continued details, especially at this beginning part of the trip, transportation, it's a foreign country, the details of the travel that's still to come, food, lodging, safety, all that stuff. So pray details. And then secondly, just that power would be on each and every one of these people, that they would, where they step, that power would go forth, that where they speak, that power would go forth, that nowhere that they go would they be without the power of the Holy Spirit that goes before them and behind them. I think on a trip you can easily feel like, well, there's a lot of travel, or now whatever, but that every single piece of it they would feel like there is power that's going forth. Even if I'm prayer walking on the streets and not talking to someone at this moment, it's powerful. So let's do that right now. So just turn to someone next to you or pray by yourself. Pray for the details to go smoothly and that power would go out. So God, we do just pray right now, Lord, that every single detail of this trip would work out smoothly, Lord, that that all the things you'd go before them and behind them, Lord, that there would be no hiccups along the way. And God, we do pray that it would be a powerful trip, God, that power would go out from each and every one of these men and women on this trip, and that the name of Jesus would be proclaimed all over the every place that they step. We're asking in Jesus' name. Amen. So you'll get more reports hopefully next week, and then a full report the next week when, or a full report of half the trip next week when Travis is back, and then another report from when they're all back. So be expectant for that. So we are talking about worship these next 2 weeks. I will kind of give us an intro, and then who better to speak on worship than your worship pastor himself? So he will be speaking next week. You for sure don't want to miss that. It's a little intimidating coming before him. I'm like, he's the worship pastor. So anyway, but I am excited about what I feel like God's put on my heart. And I personally love worship. It is such a source of life for me in just walking with God day to day that I am excited to share tonight. So first of all, worship, I just want to define it, and it may not be like this clear definition that would necessarily be like from a dictionary, but worship, I believe, is to experience reality. So to worship God is to experience reality, where we see our reality as I go to school, or I go to work, or I have a spouse, or I have whatever your life is like. That's my reality. I have this crisis, I have this circumstance, I have this trial, I have this whatever. But when you worship God, our reality shifts, and we get a different picture. There's a spiritual reality that comes in at that moment when we begin to worship God, because we enter into his presence. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the reality of God and how when we worship him, we receive that reality and it changes us radically. It's to feel and experience the resurrected Christ, and allows us to live in the finished work of the cross. So often we carry around stuff throughout life, whether it's our sin or our junk or our past or what's coming in the future or whatever. We carry that around, and as if this is what marks us and this is who we are, and we don't live in the finished work of the cross. And worship, I believe, can pull us into that place. We experience the resurrected Christ. You know, you think about on Easter Sunday morning, and it's so exciting and celebratory, and you really, really focus on the resurrected Christ. We focus on what he's done for us, and it's such a exciting morning, exciting time, season, weekend, whatever. But really, that's his heart for us every day, that we would experience the resurrected Christ and live in that place of the finished work of the cross all our days. So that's what we want to focus on and go after tonight. And I have this picture that I was meditating on this week, and I don't know if you know the story of the prodigal son, but I'm going to tell it really quickly. So in the New Testament, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he tells them this story. And it's of a man who has two sons. And the younger son says to his father, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait. I want it now. I know I'm young, but I want to go to the city. I want to explore. I want to invest it. I want to do whatever. I want my inheritance now. And so the father says, okay, if you want your inheritance now, I'll give you half of everything I have. So he did. And the younger son goes, and if you know the story, he ends up squandering his entire inheritance to the point where he finds himself serving another master, having to work the pigs, and ends up having to eat the actual food that the pigs eat, or whatever. And so the story goes that the younger son says, well, I could be a servant in my father's house and be treated better than this. I'm going to go home and maybe he'll accept me as a servant. And so the picture is, so he's going home and he's walking along the road, and his father sees him in the distance. And you know, he's taken half of his inheritance and he's squandered it. And so his father sees him in the distance. And what he does as soon as he sees his son is he pulls up his tunic or whatever I picture in my head of them wearing, and he starts running towards his son. He like runs for him. And so I can't imagine the son's feeling. I'm sure half of him was like, do I run back? What do I do? Oh my goodness, he's excited to see me. That's a good thing, but I'm overwhelmed, you know, and they embrace. And that's the picture I have for us moving into worship. So when you begin to worship God, it's like you're stepping on that road and saying, I'm choosing you. I want to come after you. It doesn't mean you're all the way down the road. It doesn't mean that the second you start to worship, you are in the presence of God. But we need to have that understanding in that picture that when we choose to worship God, our Father runs to us. He runs after us because he longs that we might fully experience him and know him. And he wants our spirit to connect with his spirit. That's his longing for us, that the spirit that lives within us would connect with the spirit that lives within God. And then we can connect in an authentic way. And we really believe in that at Antioch. We really believe in authentic worship, which means there's not one specific form that has to work for everybody. It doesn't mean that worship has to, I'm going to talk a lot about lots of different things that worship can look like, but it doesn't have to look like all of that for everyone all the time. And the key is that we are a people that are just authentic. We're putting ourselves before God and we're authentically worshiping him. And so it could be that you are reading the Psalms all day long and that's how you're trying to worship God, or that's how you're, okay, I'm going to worship, so I'm going to read the Psalms. But if your heart and your soul is not in it, then it's not worship. It's not authentic worship. You could be crazy jumping around, you know, like you see some people up here doing whatever to worship God, but if their spirit is not connecting with the Spirit of God, if they're not authentically in their heart wanting to connect with God, then that also is not worship. Does that make sense? So we have a span of things to think about here, but I don't want us to have a specific paradigm of what it has to look like, because what it has to look like is just that your spirit and your heart are going after God. You're taking a step towards Jesus, and you're giving him your whole heart. So it's not really about your personality. I think we can easily do that. Well, it would be my personality to be kind of more crazy and jump around and whatever, or it's kind of my personality to like sit and be quiet in the back. And it's not really about personality. I think it's more about what God's doing in us in that season or on that day or in that moment. That's more how we have to respond to God. Not as much, well, this is who I am in my box, and so that's where I'm going to stay. I think we'll miss God if we stay there. I think what God's saying to us is, no, whatever you're going through, just give yourself to me, and then whatever I do, respond to it. If it makes you want to jump up and down, jump up and down. If it makes you want to fall on your face and weep, then fall on your face and weep. If it makes you want to sit and be contemplative, is that a word? Then sit and do that. You know, that's what God is asking of you, is that you respond to him with your heart in a really real way. I have a story about that. When I was in college, I went to this worship service, and I was sitting in the balcony, which is never a good idea if you're like one of the first times to go somewhere to sit in the balcony, because then you just see over it, and then you're like, oh my goodness, what's this or what's that? You're distracted. And there was a guy on the front row of the church, and he was worshiping God, and he was kind of more on the crazy side. Like, he had his arms raised, and I think he was probably jumping some, and not really that crazy now that I think about it, but at that point I was like, that I will never be like that. That is out of control. He's just out of control. And so as I went home, I thought about it more, and I had to repent, because I realized I had a very judgmental spirit, because I didn't even know this guy. I didn't know what was going on in his heart or his life or whatever. And I personally felt God say, hey, just give yourself to me in worship, and then see what happens. It doesn't have to look like that. It doesn't have to look like anything specific, but just give yourself to me in worship. And so then a few months later, I after worship service, I was like, oh no, I think maybe I was just like that guy that was totally not consciously. I was just trying to give myself to God wholly and fully and respond to him. So I just think it's just an openness and a freedom. God, what do you want to do in my heart as I worship you? And our focus as we worship, who are we worshiping? And maybe that goes without being said, but I just want to clarify, who are we worshiping? Matthew 4:10 says this, and it should be on the screen, I think. It says, I must have given the wrong verse. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I was reading the second one. Okay, so Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So that's Jesus' command to us. So really, to worship God, if you've given your life and your heart to Jesus, to worship God is what he's asking of us. It's what he's commanding us. And I love this verse because it says, worship the Lord your God, and then it says, serve him only. So it doesn't say serve God, oh, and then worship along the way too. It says worship God. That is his first priority for us. It's not go and serve, go and do, go and whatever. That's why there's a call to, in the morning, sit with Jesus, worship him. Before you go about your day and serve him, sit and worship him, or stand and worship him, or express worship to him in some way. And then Exodus 20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. And that's just speaking to idolatry. So we don't want to have any other idols in our lives or in our hearts. That is going to keep us from fully being able to worship God. It's going to hold us back. It's going to hinder us if there's other idols in our lives, especially if we hold them in high esteem and are trying to also walk with God and lay our lives down for him. So we want to focus on his character, to see him for who he is, to ponder him, to think about him. What are the great things he's done in my life? And I've had seasons that have been hard where I've thought, you know what? I don't even know. I can't even say what you've done in my life right now. But I can go to scripture and say, you have been faithful over and over again in scripture, and cling to that. And I just think what happens then is you, as we do that, as you focus on Jesus, put your eyes on him, what quickly begins to happen is you begin to see yourself. So often we get in the presence of God and we start to think about ourselves because we want to think about this or work through this issue, or God help me with this, or I need you to speak to me about this, which all that is great. But if you'll just fix your eyes on Jesus, he will then in turn reveal your heart. He will then in turn reveal your sin. It often, for me, worship, out of worship comes confession, because I've seen this great almighty God that I've given my life to, and then I see a reflection of myself, and I'm immediately gonna repent and confess my own shortcoming. And let me give you this just helpful hint. I think this has been helpful for me. If it's hard for you in worship to be like, I don't even know, what am I even worshiping? Like, I can't see God. I physically, he's not here. He's not there. I mean, that's where in the Old Testament, when you see them building the golden calf and different idols, I think a lot of that came from, we can't see him. We don't know what he looks like. We're at least going to worship something we can see. It may be just this statue, but at least we can see it. And I just had the encouragement once. I was, I think, in junior high or high school, just to close your eyes and ask God, would you give me a picture of yourself? Would you give me a picture of yourself so that when I'm worshiping you, and it may be a picture of the throne room of God, it may be a picture of Jesus. Who knows? There's no limit on what that picture needs to look like or should look like. But if that's hard for you in the focus sense, then just ask God, would you give me a picture of yourself that when I close my eyes, I can see you? He's so faithful to do that in different seasons. I feel like he's given me different pictures to focus on, but I think it's really helpful. So why? What's the why behind this? Why do we worship God? Why does God ask us to worship God? Why is that something that he's commanded? In Ezekiel 44:15, it talks about how we are to minister to his heart. That God's saying, I want you to minister to my heart. It's not at all about you getting what you need in worship. I want you to fix your eyes on me and minister to my heart. It honors him, but what really happens is it allows me to be in a posture in my heart of honoring him in such a way that it carries over, it overflows into who I am. It overflows into my actions. It overflows into my service. That's that. When I've touched the heart of God, when I've ministered to him, I've been changed, and therefore it carries over into who I am. It allows us to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. There's a scripture in, I think it's 1 Samuel, that talks about David, and it says in the middle of a hard time and a crisis, he says, I stopped and I had to strengthen myself in the Lord. And so there's a way for us personally to be able to strengthen ourself in the Lord, that our hearts might live in a place that's revived. We don't have to wait for a conference or wait for Sunday morning or wait for someone else to encourage us. We can press into worship, and God can revive our hearts, and we can be changed right there. And there's a precedence throughout Scripture of heroes in the Bible that have pulled away to worship God. And, in the case of like Abraham and Moses, we see where they would stop. They're on a journey to the promised land or wherever they're going. And they're on a journey, and it says they'll stop, and they built an altar, and they sacrificed an animal, and they worship God. It happens over and over again. All throughout the Psalms, we see where David does that. We see where he is constantly stopping and worshiping God. The great thing about it is that we don't any longer live in the Old Testament, so we are not stopping and sacrificing animals. Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice, but he does still call for us to sacrifice our lives to him. So through his work on the cross, he did it all. He was the ultimate sacrifice. However, what he's saying is, I will give you eternal life if you'll just give your life to me. And so he's asking us to sacrifice our lives to him. Romans 12:1, I want us to read. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And so when we sacrifice ourselves, life is going to break forth. So that is what he's saying is true and proper worship, is sacrificing our whole lives unto Jesus. And what's going to happen out of that is it's going to free you up to be who you are. It's going to free you up to be who you're called to be. You're going to have a clearer picture of who you're called to be as you sacrifice your life to Jesus. You're going to know what you're made for. You're going to have a clearer picture of what you're made for in life. And from my experiences in worship, it has actually, there's been worship times that have actually changed the whole trajectory of my life, sometimes in really huge ways. One time I was in, this will be a Mexico mission trip plug, on a Mexico mission trip, but we were in Juarez. I had this one, I can still remember it to this day. It was this one really significant, it was just a worship, we were worshiping one morning, and I remember I was just trying to fix my eyes on Jesus, doing all of what we're talking about, and I remember I sat down and I was praying and I was responding to God, and it was out of that time, it was my senior year of college, and it was out of that time that I, to a greater measure, said, God, wherever you call, whatever you want to do, I am fully in, I'm fully yours. And it was out of that time that he called me to leave and to move to Boston. And so, you know, I just think, what if that hadn't happened? What if I hadn't given myself fully to God in worship in that moment? Then there's been little things along the way where I, you know, I've just asked God, what does my kid need in this moment? Or what is, what are you calling me to give myself to in my schedule in this season or whatever? And if I hadn't stopped and asked God, how would things have been different? It literally has, worship has changed the trajectory of my life. And I believe it can change the trajectory of yours as well. So it's just, it's made me come alive. Worship has made my heart come alive like nothing else. When I am at the end of myself, when I am, I kind of describe it as like my heart is faint. Whether it's, you know, that can be a gamut of things that have made my heart faint. If I can, no matter what I'm doing, it doesn't matter if I'm in the car or if I'm home, if I'm in a place where I can stop and worship God or keep doing what I'm doing even and worship God, then there's breakthrough that happens in me. It's the place I'm suddenly regrounded. And I try to stay there until I am regrounded. This week was a really crazy week with all the things going on with Travis getting out the door and just different things going on. And I mean, it was one morning, all my kids were there and they were playing, and I was like, I'm putting worship music on. You guys can come worship if you want. You don't have to come. You can keep playing if you want. Mommy's going to worship. And I put worship music on. I fell to my knees right there. And I was like, I am not moving until you break through. Because what happens is this, whatever's going on in my heart, whether it's negativism or negativity, whatever, or discouragement, or frustration, or anger, or, you know, you begin to figure it out. I am off. That's kind of how I describe it. I'll be like, kids, mommy is off. I have got to get with God. And so we'll just stop and put worship music on. And I can't even always stop. Sometimes I have to just let it play. But the worship begins to get into my soul, and I'm changed. And it anchors my heart afresh in who God is and not in my circumstances. It's like, would you give me a picture of your reality? I'm living in the wrong reality right now. I need to have your fresh picture of reality. And that so often comes through worship. The encouragement, I think, is that it becomes commonplace. So it's no longer this, if we are engaging in worship a lot, then it will become commonplace for us. It will not become this place that feels like, oh, I'm here and God's way over there, like from that picture of the prodigal son. I've got to get all the way to there. I don't have time for that. I got to just keep going. I have a test, or I have this or that. But the more we experience God, the more it will become commonplace for us. And, you know, so for me, I think I have more desire than choice in some seasons, and that some seasons there's more choice than desire when it comes to worship. But on the days that I'm not feeling that desire, on the days that I'm like, I know I need to worship God, you know, it may be before church on Sunday, maybe before life group, maybe in a more corporate worship setting. But when I choose it, not that I always do, but when I choose it above what I'm feeling, God consistently breaks through every time. It's not always in one song. It's not always in 5 minutes. You know, there's times where I'm like, I It's been 20 minutes, and I'm worshiping God, and I'm still feeling the same thing, or I'm still not feeling like I'm connecting with him or whatever. But God's desire is for him to break through in us. And so when I can, I stay there until he's broken through. I stay there until I'm like, this is the presence of God that I long for. And it's the way we're strengthened in God. Encounters with him is how we're strengthened in God. And we have to have it continually. We can't just wait until someone else is on a stage giving it, you know, helping, leading us into it, though that's powerful too. It's something that we have to have on a day-to-day basis. And I want to say this to parents in the room, and that is to start your kids young when it comes to this, because it will become commonplace for them. It will become normal. This is what we do when we are struggling, when we don't know what's going on, when we're sad, when we're lonely, when we're whatever, this is where we go. We head to our Father. We head to Jesus. And it just becomes so normal for them. And I love that. I just think, Lord, let it be that later on in life, this continues to be normal for them. It's not a chore or a journey to get there. And I want to talk about just avenues of worship. What are ways that we actually, some practicals, how can we actually engage in worship? Because I'm talking about it like, and you know what it looks like on Sunday morning, but what are other ways we can practically engage in worship personally? And number one is praise. And that can, in a large way, be through the Psalms. If you don't feel like you have it in your heart or don't know where do I even start to praise God, just start reading through the Psalms. It's over and over again we see where the Psalms just say, praise the Lord. It's encouraging us, exhorting us to praise the Lord. And that can look like singing, praying, speaking. That praise can really run the gamut of things. It's offering him praise. And Hebrews 13:15 says, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. So again, it's that sacrifice word. We're sacrificing ourselves, and it may even be that in worship and through praise, we're having to sacrifice. It doesn't feel like it comes naturally. But, you know, there was two sets of people I want to mention from Acts. Paul and Silas and then Peter and John were both sets that were in prison. And we know and see through scripture that they were praising the Lord in prison. And so they leave the prison and they're like bleeding and they've been beaten and all kinds of things, persecuted, and yet they're continuing to praise God. So that praise is regardless of what we're feeling or what we're going through, we're continually praising God. And then the second one is sing. And I know that can be part of praise also, but specifically sing. 41 of the Psalms, of the 150 Psalms, 41 of them say sing. They encourage us to sing. And I think what happens with singing is it just serves to focus us. If you're singing and whether you're reading the words on the screen or you're just singing the words out, our minds can be in 1,000 places, and they still can be. You can be singing one thing and thinking something else, but it sure does cut out a lot of distraction if you're actually singing. So if in a church service you feel distracted and you're like, goodness, check and see if you're actually singing. Just be like, oh, wait, I'm not even singing the words. Maybe that would help me be more focused. It's interesting, just today as I was looking over this and finishing preparing, my kids were resting, and my oldest two rest together, and they don't always rest together perfectly, and oftentimes looks really messy, and we have to work through some discipline issues. But today, by the grace of God, I heard them singing. They're working puzzles, and they were singing worship songs. And that's kind of all they really know is worship songs. They were singing worship songs. And I just noticed it was like 20 or 30 minutes. They were just going from one song to the next. And I'm like, there's no bickering. There's no arguing. There's no anger. And they could have been singing worship songs or not. It still would have focused them. They just weren't focused on anything else except trying to sing. I mean, they were working their puzzle and trying to sing. They weren't thinking about, give me that piece, that's mine. They were so focused on what they were singing. And I thought that was a good picture for us, that as we sing, it focuses our hearts and our minds. And really what happens in singing and in praise is it brings emotion into worship, which is kind of can be hard for some people or even controversial for some people. But I want to read this quote from Richard Foster, who wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline, and there's a chapter in there on worship. And he said this: feelings are a legitimate part of the human personality and should be employed in worship. So it's something that we feel all, we have feelings and emotions all the time from all different areas of life. So why not in worship? Why would you exclude feelings from your worship? 1 Corinthians 14:15 says this: pray with the Spirit. So what shall we do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. So there's a place of singing that is not just with your mind or your understanding, but it's also with your spirit. He's encouraging both things to be always engaged. So then number three in how we worship, avenues that help us worship, is just with our whole being. We want to worship with our whole being, not just with our voice and not just with our heart, but with our whole being. And this speaks to what the physical act of worship might look like. And we see everything throughout Scripture in terms of what different people did at different times, from standing to kneeling to lifting their hands to clapping to bowing their head to lifting their head to dancing to lying prostrate. I mean, it was just like anything and everything was okay in worship that we see throughout Scripture. And this was interesting. So the word that the Hebrew word worship translates to mean in Hebrew to prostrate. So the Hebrew word worship actually means to lie prostrate. The Hebrew word bless actually means to kneel. And the word thanksgiving refers to the extension of the hand. So those are all things that we see commanded of us in Scripture: worship, bless, and thanksgiving. And so to take part in worship in some of these other ways is not outside the bounds of what Scripture is asking us to do. It actually is what Scripture is asking us to do. So regardless of our personal needs and our personal wants, you know, I think a lot of times I'll go into worship saying, okay, what do I need right now? What do I need God to touch me with right now? But really the question I should be asking is, what kind of worship is God calling me to? What kind of worship does God call for from me? And that should be the question we ask as we go in to any kind of worship, just by ourselves or in whatever setting, is what is he asking for? What is God asking for from me? Is it what I would think it would look like? Maybe, sometimes, maybe not. But we're just giving ourselves to God in that kind of a way, in that sacrifice. And then the fruit of worship. And this is the fun part, because this is where God really starts to give back to us and where we're changed. And really, to come out of worship and to be the same is not going to happen. If you've encountered God, you're going to come out of worship totally changed. And that's our desire as Antioch, is that we are changed in his presence. When we experience the presence of God, then we're changed. It could be from, you know, meeting with a friend and you pray together, so you walk away and you're changed. It could be from singing worship songs on Sunday night, and you're changed. And so often, he'll stir something up in you. Maybe you're humbled afresh. You're passionate about something afresh. You're convicted of something. You're more excited and envisioned for and on fire for something that he's giving you. It really does. Worship is going to shift the atmosphere where we are. That's like what I was sharing about in our home with my kids. When I can get worship music on, and even if my heart is shifted, I can't control the hearts of my kids, but even if my heart is shifted, it shifts the atmosphere in the room. Really, it does. And one time a friend and I were driving from Texas to Boston, so like 36 hours or something, and we listened to worship music, and we put something else in that wasn't worship music, and it wasn't bad music. It was just secular music, which I have nothing against, but that's what was on, and it was fine. We were just driving, and then we changed the CD. That was like pre-plug in your iPod. Changed the CD and put some other worship music in, and we were both like, do you feel that? We were like, yeah, weird. What? All of a sudden, there was just a shift in the atmosphere. There was a shift in what we talked about. There was a shift in both of our attitudes. We were probably on mile, like, who knows, 2000 and how far along. But there was just like this renewed, like, we can make it. We can do it. We can press in. We can make it to Boston or whatever. And so it really does. It shifts the atmosphere. And that's where I would say for you personally, if you're feeling overwhelmed or overcome by the circumstances of life, stop, pull away, worship God, and I guarantee you it'll shift your atmosphere. Again, it connects you with his reality. It gives us fresh perspective. It reorders our thinking. Where we're thinking wrong, we just need a paradigm shift. Worship will come in, and it'll give that to us as we encounter God. And then it will propel us into greater obedience. I'm sure a lot of you could have the testimony of leaving a Sunday night service and be propelled to do something to obey God in a fresh way. And whether that came from actually worshiping or from a sermon or what, but there's something that really does propel us into greater obedience. And this is the obedience part is what keeps the emotional part from just being emotional, if that makes sense. So if we have a really emotional experience in worship and we leave and there's no act of obedience and there's no change, then that emotion had no grounding to it. It puts grounding to the emotion when we act out in obedience. And then we're radically changed. He does something in us because we're obeying him, we're doing what he's commanded us to do, and we're radically changed by worship. And I want us to give us a few ways to enrich our worship experience in whatever it looks like for you. And it could be that you're like, got it, done. I am totally in this boat. I love worship. I agree with everything you're saying, and I'm already doing more than that. But maybe you're not there. Maybe it's new and fresh for you, and you're like, can you give me some more practicals? Can you help me figure out what this can really look like? And, you know, if you go to worship God and you don't know God, it's not going to necessarily be changing. It's not going to necessarily be this radical all of what I've just talked about. And so what we want to cultivate in our hearts is a understanding and a relationship with Jesus. And a large part of that comes through prayer. So we can't ever take one of these disciplines, like worship or prayer or study of the word, and have it on its own. You can't take worship and just have it on its own. And I think prayer is a huge part of worship that really couples with worship. And so the encouragement is to just be a man or woman of prayer. Cultivate that in our hearts. And then secondly, another way to just enrich our worship experience is to have multiple places and circumstances in which you worship. If Sunday morning is the only time you ever worship, God's going to meet you. He's going to be that father that's going to run after you, and he's going to meet you right where you are. But you're going to get more of God if you're experiencing him in multiple settings. Like Sunday morning, like in a life group, like in your personal times, and I hear this happening all over our church, just getting a few friends together and just having a night that you just worship and pray together. It's not necessarily scheduled life group, but it's just we want to get together and we want to worship and meet God in that way. And then also in your darkest hour, that's where worship is going to be enhanced. If you choose to go to Jesus in your darkest hour, when you're carrying the heaviest stuff, that is when the presence of God comes so powerfully and there's such significant breakthrough. And then I want to say this, that regardless of what you may be feeling, the choice is going to be sometimes the times where there's the most life that breaks forth, when there's that choice that says, I'm gonna go there. And how many of you have had that, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you had that time where you're like about to get to church and something happens and you get in a fight with your roommate, or your car breaks down, or it may be something totally out of your control, or you're about to get to life group and you get a text from your friend, oh, did you remember about this assignment? Oh, I can't go to life group now. I've got to go to this assignment. The enemy is after us. If he can keep us out of the presence of God, he can keep us from our destiny. And so if we can press through those attacks of the enemy, then we're going to find God in the fullness of his presence. Whether that's worship or in anything, just recognize the enemy and what he might be doing to keep you from getting to church or getting to life group or getting to whatever it is that you're trying to go and press into God with. And then I would say this, press past your disappointment, because that disappointment, again, is the enemy. If you can press past your disappointment in worship, you're going to keep yourself from discouragement and ultimately unbelief, because that's what happens. That's the course of disappointment that's undealt with. It then becomes discouragement, which is worse than disappointment, and then that then can become unbelief. So we want to press past our disappointment when it's at that point. It recognize it as an attack from the enemy and press into worship and have breakthrough. And I would say, do not give up. Press in until it's a familiar place. Do not give up in worship. Keep putting yourself back on that road again and saying, I don't see you coming. I need to believe that you're coming for me. Do not give up. Do not say, well, this just isn't for me. It's not my personality. That's just not my deal. You're made for it. So there is a place that God will meet you. There may be a lot of barriers or a lot of roadblocks or a lot of things that get in your way or distract you or confuse you or questions that you have. But ask those questions. Press in. Get in with someone that you trust and that you know and that is walking with God, and get them to help you. You know, I've had friends that have been like, can we just worship together? I cannot get in the presence of God. And someone else coming together with them, there's breakthrough that happens. Same thing happens on a Sunday morning. And then to get even another step more practical, to keep your worship, your personal worship in God just fresh and alive, and these are super practical, but always tapping into new music. So if you hear a song, if you hear Adam play a song on Sunday morning, go find it or ask him what it was or look it up on iTunes. Find it and buy it and get it on your whatever you use for music and listen to it throughout the week. It doesn't have to just be on Sunday morning. Oh, I like that song. That was good. Whatever. No, you use it to get in the presence of God. Again, if you if you hear it in any setting at a World Mandate conference or at a life group, just get that music downloaded onto your phone and then or your whatever you use. And then I would say this, and Travis and I are notorious for like wearing out songs because we both do this a lot, but stay on a song as long as it's stirring you. So if that song is right now for me, it's To the One. If that song is stirring you, then just put that song. I mean, I'll go on runs and I will put it on repeat and I will hear it the whole time. Eventually I'll get sick of it and I'll have to move on. But for right now, it is stirring my heart, and so I'm staying there. And so that's an encouragement to you. Let it wash over you. God's doing something. When you really like something or you really and you're in the presence of God, that is the Spirit of God stirring you. Keep it on repeat as long as you need to. And then be consistent in corporate worship gatherings. I find that you only can do so much to stir yourself up in the Lord. God gives us the ability to do that, and that he can allow us to strengthen us for a season when we have to be apart for whatever reasons. But be consistent in attending life groups, worship nights, Sunday evening service. That will continue to stir your heart for worship, because, you know, you could walk in really discouraged, but the person next to you may walk in totally on fire. And so as you engage in worship together with the body, what naturally happens is there's a shift in the atmosphere, right? We just talked about that. There'll be a shift in the atmosphere. And unless you resist it, or unless you give way to the flesh or the enemy, you're going to be a part of that. You're going to get to be a part of that flow that God's pouring out, and more of a spirit that he is pouring out. And then I just want to say this, feel free in worship. That means you can, if you like to run, if you like to go paint, if you like to dance, if you like to sing really loud, if you want to do all those things at the same time, then do it, because that's how God's made you to worship him. It may look totally different than anybody you've ever seen, and you may be like, is this okay? This is how I'm worshiping, but I'm really connecting with God. More than likely, yeah, absolutely. If you're connecting with God and you're wanting to obey him out of it, and you're feeling changed out of it, and you're awakened more to who he is and who you are and how you need to and want to change, then probably that's a good form for you for that season. Keep doing that. There's a quote by Bill Johnson, who's a pastor at a church in California, and he says this, "I've been given a flame in my heart for God, and I'm the only person in the world that's responsible for guarding it." And so we want to be good stewards of that flame in our heart. We want to be good stewards of that flame, that we might be constantly guarding it. And just that encouragement that he's going to enable you to do that. You don't have to have someone else always leading you into it. You don't have to have everything all perfect and all figured out theologically or anything else. He is going to lead you into more of his spirit through worship. And I had this picture, and I'm going to close with this so the band can start to come up. But I had this picture just now as we were worshiping of this, and it was the Lord was standing before us, and he had all these tickets in his hand, and he was passing tickets out to every single person sitting in this room. And I looked at the ticket that I was given, and it said, "Admit one." And I was like, "What is this a ticket for?" And I feel like God said, "That's a ticket to the throne room, to my throne room." Every single person in this room is receiving a ticket to the throne room of God. It is not first, just for some, it is for every single person in this room. He is asking you, he's engaging you, he's inviting you to come into his throne room. Maybe for the 100th time, maybe for the first time, but it is for you. He desires, he longs that you might enter into his throne room. So I want to believe that for us tonight. I want to pray over us and believe that God really does want to give that to us, and that we would receive that, those tickets. We would receive that he's giving us as the more of God, that it is available to you. No matter where you are, how distant you feel or connected you feel, that the more of God in worship is available to you tonight. And so I'm going to pray it over us. I want to share this too. Someone else had a picture tonight of God just clarifying and speaking promises out over our life. Promises are spoken in the throne room of God. And so I just want to invite whoever would like to respond to God in that way, whoever is saying, "I need worship to come alive in my heart afresh. It is not alive for me in this season. It feels dead. It doesn't feel a place of life. It's not any of those things you just described, or it's never been that." Then I want to invite you to come and respond to God, to say, "Okay, I'm taking this ticket. It was given to me. I want to go into the throne room. I don't want to just put that in my pocket and go on." It's a free ticket that's being handed to you to enter into the Holy of Holies. Nobody in the New Testament got that free ticket. They didn't get to experience God in that way. He has, through the cross, given us the ticket, given us the permission, allowed us to come into his presence. So God, I just pray right now, Lord, that we would be a people that receive, Lord. That we would open up our hands and we would say, "Okay, I take it. I receive it. I know there's more. I believe there's more. I long for more. This can't be it. This can't be all there is." So Lord, would you just open up our hearts and our minds right now to respond to you? Lord, if you're stirring us, Lord, if you're awakening us afresh, if you're setting us free afresh to what worship might look like in our personal life and how that might be an outlet, Lord, for more of you and greater obedience and a deeper, more rich, more real walk with you, Lord, let it happen. And then, Lord, we just say again, may we have that understanding and that picture that you are a God that when we just start to worship, we just put our place, we've made that choice, I'm going to worship you, that our Father comes running after us. So, Lord, let us, each one in this room, understand and know that tonight, that we have a Father that longs to run to us and meet us right where we are.